Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Desha Tarne. Actually, if you put it on this side, it's better. Then I can be. Could you please put it here? Then I can face Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, recently a Sri Vaishnav Acharya invited me to a Tirumanjanam, elaborate ceremony of worship of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. That was another occasion for me to observe how the sampradaya to which Sri Ramanuja Acharya gave new life, meaning and direction is still united around him many hundreds of years after the period of his manifest activities. About 300 years after Sri Ramanuja's withdrawal from manifest activities, his sampradaya split doctrinally into two warring camps, each of which quite differently interpreted certain teachings of his. Even today, both sects continue their previous acrimony and doctrinal differences largely overlooked or forgotten. The very reason for the longevity of both divisions has been their sworn adherence to Sri Ramanuja's teachings. Oh. Sri Ramanuja's teachings regarding both Siddhanta and practice. The long standing coherence of the Madhva Sampradaya must also be principally ascribed to the fact that its members are loyal to the teachings of their founder Acharya. Similarly, in your ISKCON, strength derives from adherence to the teachings of the founder Acharya, namely your divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, although those teachings are available to all, and although to be your follower plainly means to follow your teachings, nowadays there are multiple interpretations of several of those teachings, and devotees who claim to be your followers are divided on various issues. Some camps have already sprung up outside the ambit of the ISKCON that you incorporated, and presently some doctrinal disagreements threaten to sunder the core movement that you established. In this predicament, it is particularly apt to recall the following statements from your teachings. From Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 12, text 9. Kehoto achajya agyai, kehoto shatantra. Oh, that's another mistake. Kehoto shatantra. Shamata kalpana kare daiva paratantra. Translation. Some of the disciples strictly accepted the orders of the Acharya and others deviated independently, concocting their own opinions under the spell of daivi maya. Purport. This verse describes the beginning of a schism. When disciples do not stick to the principle of accepting the order of their spiritual master, immediately, there are two opinions. Any opinion different from the opinion of the spiritual master is useless. One cannot infiltrate materially concocted ideas into spiritual advancement. That is deviation. There is no scope for adjusting spiritual advancement to material ideas. Then the next verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Acharya mata jay she mata sha tar agga longhi chale she to asha. Translation. The order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. Purport. Here is the opinion of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Persons who strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master are useful in executing the will of the Supreme, whereas persons who deviate from the strict order of the spiritual master are useless. Then, from two more verses in the purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 12, verse 12, purport, excerpt from the purport. There are many disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but to judge who is actually his disciple, to divide the useful from the useless, one must measure the activities of such disciples in executing the will of the spiritual master. By accepting the criterion recommended by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, one can very easily understand who is a genuine world preacher and who is useless. Then the next is from your speech on the occasion of the Vyasa Puja of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, February 1936. If the absolute truth is one about which we think there is no difference of opinion, the Guru also cannot be two. The Acharya Dev for whom we have assembled tonight to offer our humble homage is not the Guru of a sectarian institution or one out of many differing exponents of the truth. On the contrary, he is the Jagat Guru or the Guru of all of us. The only difference is that some obey him wholeheartedly while others do not obey him directly. The next is a quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 48. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, to become his devotees, to worship the Supreme Lord and to bow down before him. The Acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord, establishes these principles, but when he disappears, things once again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the Acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. So, end of quotations here. Srila Prabhupada, I pray that you count me among those disciples of yours who are sincerely following your instructions. Please bless me with the association of those whom you have blessed with the unsullied vision and determination to always sincerely and wholeheartedly obey your instructions. Please protect me from the association and influence of persons who profess to be your followers yet do not obey you directly. For instance, by not rising early every day for sadhana, or by preaching and teaching in a manner distinctly different from yours. You told us to be Shastra Chakshuhu. Accordingly, a sincere disciple will always try to understand everything through the instructions in your books. By reading your books, one can clearly observe that the principle of Anyabhidharshita Shunya, which is the central pulse of your teachings, is nowadays considerably compromised within the society that you founded for establishing this principle within the world. Hence, much of what passes as being adherent to your instructions is in fact a deviation from them. Quoting again from your purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 48, the perfect disciples of the Acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is started to save the world from irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. Srila Prabhupada, you are the most important Acharya in this Kali Yuga, and your instructions, if perfectly understood and executed, can effect tremendous good for the entire universe, as is recognized even by leaders of other Vaishnav sampradayas. For instance, during a public meeting several years ago, Sri Vishveshwara Tirtha, a widely revered patriarch of the Madhva sampradaya, stated, ISKCON is the only organization that can spread Vishnu Bhakti throughout the world. It could be said that the very cause of the longevity of the old Vaishnav sampradayas is also the cause of their present admitted inability to spread Vishnu Bhakti throughout the world. Acharyas Ramanuja and Madhva are fully worshipable by us, as are their teachings and the followers of their teachings. But, as ordained by Lord Chaitanya, now is the time for Gauravani to spread widely via the personage of your divine grace. As the Sri Vaishnav Acharya, whom I mentioned above, told me, in his sampradaya there are many elaborate procedures, but you made bhakti easily available to all. Srila Prabhupada, one of the reasons that you were able to spread Krishna consciousness worldwide was your ability to present old wine in new bottles. You knew the art of maintaining basic principles while adjusting details according to time, place, and circumstance. Yet we who claim to be your followers must be careful not to imitate Anukaran, your example, rather than faithfully following in your footsteps, Anusaran. If due to inexpertness in distinguishing details from principles, we infiltrate materially concocted ideas into spiritual advancement in the name of time, place, and circumstance, and in so doing fail to bring about the revolution of bhakti that you envisioned, then we shall surely be asar. What must we do to save ourselves from the same accusations that you leveled at your godbrothers? For the answer, we must look within your teachings, which you gave to us minute by minute during your manifest presence, and continue to give us through your books. And we must be sufficiently sincere to wholeheartedly accept those teachings unchanged and in toto. We must beseech you for the discrimination by which to distinguish details from principles, and for the empowerment to dynamically continue the parampara without becoming anachronisms or rank speculators. Your teachings are as clear and brilliant as the sun, yet great harm can be done if persons who present themselves as teachers of your teachings instead attempt to mix or replace them with their own materially infiltrated concoctions. If you see fit, please bless me to serve your mission during this critical period by careful, prayerful study of your pristine message, and with the ability to delineate it via both the spoken and written word, particularly to distinguish it from various misrepresentations. And also bless me to not be just an armchair critic, but to continue to be actively involved in your mission in multiple ways, giving special attention to two crucial programs that are presently nearly forgotten, namely Daiva Varnashrama and Gurukul. Srila Prabhupada, please give me the intelligence and wisdom to understand that, although you have given certain parameters, the stepping outside of which disqualifies one as your genuine disciple, still there is no one way to be your follower. This is clear from your having accepted all kinds of people and encouraged them in various ways in your magnanimous, pragmatic endeavors to engage every jiva within the entire universe in Krishna consciousness. Considering this, I must also bear in mind your instructions regarding your disciples cooperating together, unity in diversity, the story of the quarreling sons beating their father rather than massaging him, excessive and inappropriate liberality in devotional service, Niyama Agraha versus fanaticism, Niyama Agraha, plus your own example of repeatedly trying to work with your godbrothers, despite their indifference towards such proposals, yet also castigating them. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's essential Trinadapi call for humility and tolerance. Notwithstanding that all of these dictums are commonly misinterpreted and misapplied, always seeking your mercy, without which I have no hope of any good fortune, what to speak of executing any grandiose plans, I pray to always be your dedicated servant, Bhakti Vikaswan.